of heights to the depths of the sea.
Then he said to the man, verse 13, and notice this, Jesus just could have said that and the man would be like, oh, go for it, Lord, go for it. Tell those legalists what it's about. And Jesus could have walked, and that could have been the end of it. But he goes a step even further. And he goes to the man, stretch out your right hand.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings. All exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. A general theme through this section of Matthew is the rising opposition against Jesus. Sometimes this opposition is expressed against him directly, and sometimes attacks on his disciples. Yet we see that Jesus, as a faithful Jewish man, continued to go to synagogue normally. On this particular Sabbath, when he went to the synagogue, there was a man who had a withered hand. At best, the religious leaders saw the man as an interesting test case. It is more likely that they saw the man as bait for a Sabbath controversy trap for Jesus. In contrast, Jesus looked at the man through eyes of compassion. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's message.
And growing old is ready to vanish away. So it doesn't mean that the Old Testament's no longer worthy to read. No, you read the whole thing, the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's all good. You need both. Don't think Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, but you need to read the Old Testament, because if you don't, you're not going to understand a lot what's in the New Testament. Over 96 times just in the Gospel of Matthew, 96 references to Old Testament scriptures. It's the second most quoted of the Old Testament in the book, in the New Testament. The first book that is quoted most is Revelation. Revelation quotes more of the Old Testament 266 times. Old Testament references in the book of Revelation. And Matthew is second to it. Jesus has fulfilled the law. He's greater than all of the types of the Old Testament. But Jesus goes on, he says, if you had known what this means, he says to them, that I desire mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless, because mercy, as I said before, is God withholding from us punishment or consequences that we deserve. In John's gospel, we see this clearly demonstrated when he healed a paralytic man who was paralyzed for 38 years at the pool of Bethesda again, and he did it on the Sabbath. And after healing the man, Jesus found him later in the temple and said, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You know what that is? Grace and mercy. For that man, for his malady that he had, it was because of his sin that he was in that malady. But don't assume because you're sick that you've sinned or something. But this man, it was definitely true for him. His sin brought this malady upon him. But Jesus, in mercy, said, sin no more. And he healed him, lest a worse thing come upon you. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy was foreign to the Pharisees, with their strict code of ethics. And this is also true of much religion in the world today. Many churches, many religions, many cults today. Leaders of these religions use manipulation and fear to control their constituents, to get money from them, manipulating them, playing mind games with them, making them feel that they're not quite good enough. If you just give a little more, God might smile today at you. But you got to give a lot. If you give $1,000, big smiles. You only give $100. Verse 8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. Jesus, again, showing that he is the Messiah. In the parallel account of this exact event in Mark's gospel, it says this, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." Do you get that? The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Everything is backward with the Pharisees and with the legalists, with those who are critical. He says, no, the Sabbath was made for man. I love man, God says. I don't want him to work himself to the bone. He needs rest. I know what he's made of. I also know what he's not made of, and he needs rest. You need a mental break. You need time to worship. You need time to spend time alone. You need to spend time with your family. You need to sit in that hammock there by the lake while somebody else is manning the grill. You need that. And we often think that the commandments of God are restricting our freedom, but this commandment is actually giving man a break. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not murder. But then God says, remember the Sabbath. Work in 6 days and then take the day off. Does that sound restrictive to you? Only if you're greedy. Only if you've got to work 7 days a week so that you can make more money. But are you willing to take a break? Are you working too much? God wants to give you a break. Are you willing to take it? Verse 9, so now when he had departed from there, he went into their synagogue. And Luke chapter 6, the parallel passage to this in verse 6, it says that this was a different Sabbath. This was not the same Sabbath. And it says, and behold, there was a man who had a withered hand. And Luke's gospel tells us that it was the man's right hand. Matthew doesn't concern himself, and it doesn't really matter. But the details are helpful. You can read in Luke 6, verse 6. It was his right hand. See all the gospels? You put them all together and it gives you the whole picture. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful? So the Pharisees see this man with a withered hand, and they ask. And they asked Jesus, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? They knew what he was going to do. Because he was compassionate, and they should have been compassionate, but instead of being compassionate to the man who had a withered hand, they're looking at Jesus and going, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Legalists, critical spirit. Jesus hated that. He didn't hate them. He hated their actions. You know the difference? We have to be careful about that, right? We hate sin. I hate sin in my own self. I hate sin in other people too. When you see what it's doing to their lives, how it's robbing them, how it's destroying their lives, I hate to see it. And we ought to hate it too, but we got to love the person. No matter what the sin is, whether it's adultery, a heterosexual adultery or fornication, whether it's homosexual fornication, can you love that person? We ought to. Somebody comes in here who is caught up in that lifestyle and that sin. Are we going to set, all the church sits over here and that one person is sitting over here going, where's the love? And God is going, yeah, where is the love? Can you love that person? Guys, can you strike up a conversation and just be kind, knowing that they're here to hear the truth? And hopefully, over time, the Lord will change them and another friend to the kingdom of God is added. Can we do that? Or do we get out our microscope? Do want to be around you. Jesus said, then he said to them, what man is there? He looked around at all of these scribes and these legalists. And he says, what man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Won't you get your friends to wrap a rope around the legs of that ox and pull up your Ford F-250 and drag that thing out? Are you willing to do that? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Again, above all the things that God created, notice he places the value of man higher than all of it. Isn't it madness that you can go to jail for mishandling your dog? And I'm not encouraging mishandling your pets, don't get me wrong. But you can go to jail for that, but you can go to Planned Parenthood and murder your child, and somebody else will even pay for it. And Jesus is saying, isn't a man of more value than a sheep? And Jesus places more value on us, on his creation, the capstone of his creation, his workmanship, than he does on animals. He loves animals too. And we ought to treat them with respect. We don't want to hurt, you understand what I'm saying. You don't hurt animals on purpose. We are not to be cruel. But it's no surprise because it is man that Jesus came to save, not the ox. He came to save man. And it's no surprise because Ephesians tell us we are his workmanship. Ephesians 2 verse 10, we are his workmanship. The Greek word workmanship, the Greek word is poema. A masterpiece. You're his workmanship. He looks at you regardless of your background, everything. He says, I love you. Nobody else really likes you because of the wart on your nose and the way you walk and the funny things you wear and the eye makeup and all that stuff, but I love you. You're in my image. I love you. And God would challenge us to love as well, the same way, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that he, whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, he is going to condemn the world in the future, but right now he came to seek and to save that was lost. He didn't come to save the ox and the camel and the sheep. He came to save man. It's more important to him than anything. Of how much more value than is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. Again, in the parallel account of this in the Gospel of Mark, it says that when he said this, he looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart. Yes, perfect anger. Be angry and sin not. Jesus had the ability, and so do you, to be angry but not sin. It's okay to be angry. Jesus looked around all these men, casting judgment on this man. Isn't he worth more than a sheep? You guys would help and get the sheep out of the ditch, but what about this poor man? And he looked on them with anger because of the hardness of their heart. The hardness of their heart. Have you ever had a hard heart? Yes, I have. Then I have to pray, soften it, Lord, with oil. Soften my heart with oil. Take your spirit and just pour it upon me and soften this rotten, crusty, old piece of leather in my chest. Soften it, God. It's cracked, it's broken, it looks ugly. Then he said to the man, verse 13, and notice this, Jesus just could have said that and the man would be like, oh, go for it, Lord, go for it. Tell those legalists what it's about. And Jesus could have walked, and that could have been the end of it. But he goes a step even further. And he goes to the man, stretch out your right hand. And I can almost hear him saying, that you may know that the Son of Man has power to heal. Stretch out your right hand. And the man stretches his hand out. And he's like freaking out himself. And everyone around him is going, whoa. We've never seen anything like this. Yeah. Read it and weep, baby. Right? Now, Jesus' attitude was not like that. That's what I would do because I'm a sinner. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched out. It was restored as whole as the other. A similar thing happened much later in Jesus' ministry too. And, we don't really have time to go into that, but I would encourage you to look at Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 7. A very similar thing happened again on the Sabbath. Actually, I can't resist this because this is so beautiful. We have to do this. It says that he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman now, a different woman on the Sabbath, again, who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue... He starts to pull out his taser. He's ready to go to battle with Jesus. You're not supposed to do this. There's 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of them and not on the Sabbath. Old crusty fool. Then the Lord answered him and said, hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham whom Satan has bound? Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Love it. Isn't she a daughter of Abraham? Isn't she worth doing this, even on the Sabbath? Don't do it on the Sabbath. God's like, forget the Sabbath. I'm here to heal her now, and I'm going to do it. Aren't you glad that God's always on time? He doesn't care what time or day. It could be in the middle of 3 o'clock in the morning when he visits you. He's not limited by time. You and I are stuck in time for now. Then the Pharisees plotted against him how they might destroy him. They become so incensed by the grace and his power that instead of caving into it themselves and being his disciples, he was bad for business. He's bad for business. Everyone's going to flock to him, and what are we going to do about our retirement? They sought together how they might destroy him. And see, this is the response of those who are critical and legalistic. It is never humility, brokenness, and reconciliation, only malice and hatred leading to death. And if you are critical of everyone around you and you have a critical spirit, take some time to examine your heart. Don't be a legalist like the Pharisees, but grow in grace. Not in compromise, but in grace. And pray that God would open your eyes and my eyes to remove all of that critical spirit from me and from us. Pray that God would open your eyes to the truth of his character that you might apprehend that grace and mercy. And what does it tell us in Romans? And we'll end with this today. Actually, let's open there. Let's go there ourselves. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 9. And we're just going to read down through verse 21 and we'll end there. See, this is what we want to be like. I don't want to be a legalist. I don't want to walk around with a critical spirit. I don't like being around people who are critical, do you? I can find myself being critical. And you know what? I don't like being around me. And the Holy Spirit's going, man, I want to go somewhere else. I mean, he doesn't, but I wouldn't blame him if he left me for a season. Be gracious. Be loving, be merciful toward everyone, regardless of their political leanings, regardless of whatever they're involved in, whatever sin that they just happen to be involved in, regardless of all that stuff, can you love and be gracious? Tell them the truth. Yes, do you know that truth is being gracious? Lovingly telling the truth is grace. For me to lie to them is not grace. But to lovingly tell them the truth, and the key is lovingly tell them, when it's appropriate, when I'm led by the Spirit, to lovingly tell them the truth, there's nothing more gracious than that. Because truth, it's truth. Notice what it says in Romans 12, verse 9. Paul, he says, and you'll notice if you have a King James Version Bible, you'll see the heading, behave like a Christian. I love that. I have to be reminded sometimes to behave like a Christian. Paul tells the Romans, he says in verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. Yes. And abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. That sounds like a pretty good command. Abhor what is evil. Are you abhorring what is evil? Are you clinging to what is good? Or are you still clinging to the old grave clothes, the old things? I just, you know, I'm almost rid of this thing, but I'm just going to enjoy it a little bit. I just want a little sliver of it. And you hang on to it, and God's going, why don't you just get rid of it? You're 90% of the way there. Why don't you just swallow the hook and run with the bait? I won't even pull on the rod. Just run with it. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another. And see, there's our mandate from the Lord. Be kindly affectionate to one another, not bringing out the microscope and the telescope. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. We can't forget that. Those who don't have as much around us, are we helping them out? If we hear about stuff, are we willing to help them out a little bit? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. And here it is. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Don't be content and desiring to hang out with the upper crust. I'm only going to hang out with the holy rollers. You know, those who are, you know, something in the community. Nice home. I only hang out with those people, but people of, you know, don't want to do that. They want to hang out with those people. I want to hang out with the upper crust. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Now, the humble could be wealthy and all that stuff. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of wealthy people that I know that have great hearts with God, and they're humble. And they're not stingy, but they're not also not just going to give everything away. Just be, you know, they're careful. And there are people like that too. They're not all stingy. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, don't get wrathful. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We did this song with the kids at Boca many years ago, and I can't wait to do it again. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by evil. And then we just repeat that. You know, and then there's a chorus to it, but it's really simple. We're going to do it again with those kids in the fall. I'm looking forward to it. Scripture songs, Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so as these men are trying to trap Jesus and his disciples, legalists, let's learn not to be that of that heart. Shall we? Shall we ask God to humble our hearts and mold us and make us malleable again and soften these hearts? Each one of us can go through it, can't we? Get a hard heart. Well, let's pray. Let's ask him. Let's stand together and let's ask him to do that. Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture, Lord, and we're mindful of all that Jesus went through and his disciples, and Lord, how he was constantly under scrutiny. Father, and we know that people will look at us that way too, Father, but help us to not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good, Lord, to be kind in spite of what others may do to us or what they may say about us, the looks that they may give us, Lord. May our hearts, may you remove every critical legalistic strain in us that we can love like Christ, that we can love one another's. And your word says that the world will know that we are your disciples by the love that we have for one another. And Lord, may we practice here in the house of God those very things. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.